Okay, so last night I saw our friend Lena Hall in a Radiohead cover band. It's all women. Guess what the cover band is called?
All Women?
All Women.
What about OK Bloomer?
No, even better.
Okay.
It's called Labiahead.
Stop it. That is so genius. I hate it when I don't think of clever things.
Also, I bought a t-shirt that instead of Hail to the Thief, it says Hail to the Queef. Roll the music!
I love that. Stars. Oh my gosh, that is hilarious. How was it?
Incredible. She's incredible. That voice is incredible.
Yeah, our friend Lena Hall was in Kinky Boots with us. You might also remember her for the Search for Elle Woods on MTV.
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding. She won a Tony for playing Yitzhak in Hedwig, one of my top 10 favorite musicals of all time. And her voice is like yours. Her voice is not of this earth.
You're very sweet, but I've never heard anyone sing like that. Anyway, it was a great night. What is this? Is this a podcast? Are we on a show? Are we working?
I don't know. Are people listening? Listen. Listen or don't listen. What are we going to do? Hi, everyone. My name is Ellen Marsh, and across from me is the very blonde, very tan, very handsome Joey Taranto. And this is I Think Not, the podcast where we recap your favorite true crime TV shows. And we take all of those shows by recommendation. We have a running long list. If you want to hear us cover something, you just message us. But this show, you all, we had a lot of recommendations for this show, and we got one question for you all. Are you okay?
I personally believe that all of you were drunk when you recommended this show. It is a hot fucking mess.
We're doing Cruise Ship Killers, and, you know, we're not really taken super seriously in the true crime space, and you all, you wanted to cement that for us. I feel like you were like, you know what they need? They need to be brought down a peg. Well, congratulations, everyone. Thank you. We're here covering Cruise Ship Killers, and we're not feeling great about it.
But we're moving along with it. And also, side note, if you are wanting more of us, you know, we're doing our True Crime Rundown every week. You can find it on the main feed wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you could download that for us, it's just a really easy way for you to support us without having to spend any money. It's there. So go and look it up. True Crime Rundown.
Yeah, so run down the true crime. And we're going to run down this show with you. And let me just give you a little spoiler alert. Y'all, we are covering this TV show. But it's nothing how like it went down. So be sure you stick around for the end when we tell you what really happened. Because also, what's wrong with you? Season 2, Episode 3 of Cruise Ship Killers, Deborah.
They say money doesn't buy happiness. But money can buy you a presidential suite on a luxury cruise. Deborah Wolfowitz. A recently widowed millionaire who is trying to patch up a troubled relationship with her 17-year-old daughter, Haley.
Deborah spares no expense on this trip. She wants to do whatever she can to make sure it's a good moment for her and Haley. Sure, they've been having some difficulties, but she's really hoping that if she shows Haley the best time of her life, things will be smoothed over.
But by the time the cruise liner returns to the docks, this upper-class mom will have a first-class ticket to the morgue.
Yes, Deborah Wolfowitz. That is our subject today. Wolfowitz. The wits are full of wolves. Wolfowitz. I don't know what's wrong with me, but like Wolfowitz. Have you ever heard that last name in your life?
I have heard a lot of Witzes from growing up in California and living in New York, and I've never heard Wolfowitz. But you know
All
what?
Right.
That's not her last name. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, they tell us that Deborah is a millionaire who just recently lost her husband, and she has a strained relationship with her daughter, Haley, that she's trying to fix. This is all right out the gate, okay?
Yeah.
So now they give us a little bit of backstory on Mrs. Wolfowitz.
Wolfowitz.
Yeah, Deborah was born and raised in Iowa, but she went to New York for her higher education. She got 2 graduate degrees, y'all. Deborah's smart. And while she was in New York, she met a man by the name of Marvin Mitchell. And we learned that Marvin owns 2 really popular jazz venues. Not the one that you're going to see in the reenactment, because the one in the reenactment is just a warehouse with purple lights and some drinks with no liquid in them. So, not that one.
I was going to say it's the DP's uncle's garage. I don't know what's going on in this.
It really is. They keep these shots so narrow. Honestly, it could be an aisle at a Home Depot. And they're like, quick, get it. Go. Put those cups back. Let's go. No one is ever going to convince me that this show is not shot on a 2004 Samsung fucking Razor phone. You'll never convince me otherwise.
Nor I.
Joey, guess what?
What?
Skims is back. Now, you all know we just came off of being on tour, and Joey and I, we keep close quarters. So, Joey, why don't you tell them about all my Skims underwear and bras?
I would love to. First of all, we need an intervention because we're too close. Skims, I'm looking at you. Also, Ellen's Grand Tetons look amazing in those Skims bras. I don't know what they put in them, if it's like something biblical or maybe some witchcraft, but whatever it is, it's working.
Well, let's talk about bras for a second. I am a full coverage girly. I don't want four boob. I don't want boob spilling over unless I'm wearing a very specific style dress. And anybody with, you know, sizable Grand Tetons will know. Sometimes they squeeze too much. Sometimes the support isn't right. I was at the point where I was ready to pay Joey extra just to walk around and hold my Grand Tetons before I went down a flight of stairs because that hurts. But I will tell you, the Fits Everybody full coverage bra, it does the trick because it gives me that lift, it gives me that support, but it's not bulky. I don't feel like I'm wearing kind of a bra of armor. It's got stretch. It's soft. You really just kind of have to try it for yourself. But I'm telling you, if you like the full coverage, try the Fits Everybody bra.
Also, they look very pretty.
They're supported. They are lifted and supported because, gravity, it does its thing sometimes, my love.
Just ask Sarah Bareilles. So shop Ellen's favorite bras and underwear at skims.com.
After you place your order, be sure and let them know we sent you.
Select podcast in the survey and be sure to select our show in the Dropbox menu that follows.
I love Skims. And if you want to come on tour and see my underwear, that's fine too. That sounded weird.
You think there's people in America that haven't seen you in your underwear?
Well, one night Deborah is in one of Marvin's jazz clubs and they start chatting. And the narrator tells us that it wasn't exactly love at first sight. And I'm like, good. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that you got to earn this pussy. Okay? Yeah. This ain't Baskin and Robbins talking about free scoop Sundays. You got to earn this sherbet. Okay?
Is the sherbet in the... Never mind. I'm not even going to pull out that thread. But finally, he won her over. And slowly, Deborah was like, okay. And they fell in love. And 2 years later, they got married. And Deborah was really intelligent. But she kind of parlayed her social and financial status into speeches and doing a lot of charity work. Because she was a scholar and a great public speaker. And actually, a lot of people were like, oh my God, Deborah, you're so good at giving speeches. You should like run for like city council. And you know, it's just rich people who know how to talk on a microphone. So I say go off, Deborah.
I ain't ever heard nobody on Park Avenue talking like they're from Encino. Oh my God.
That woman was a transplant. Her name was Stony Moon Beam.
Moisha. Also, I love that the reenactment of Deborah speaking in front of these hoity-toity people. I'm like, this looks like the DMV. This looks like the line to renew your passport. What the fuck is happening?
And they're all dressed in like Old Navy's best. Not that there's anything wrong with Old Navy, but you're not going to catch a New York socialite wearing something that they got at Marshall's. Don't come for me. I love Marshall's.
Deborah was an accomplished woman in her own rights. She was an amazing public speaker. She was an expert about the arts. There were many things that she showed talent in and a gift for.
But in addition to the family would put
any of those plans on hold.
Here's the thing. I think Debra really was dreaming big. But at 45, she got pregnant.
Oh.
And Marvin is 57. And I'm like, good for them. But like, that's hard.
I mean, I had this conversation with Thomas. We had a funny, like, what if? It's okay. He had the snippy snips. Don't worry, anyone. And I was like, yeah, you're going to accidentally push me down the stairs because I am not starting over this late in life. Someone's going to have a oopsie baby.
No, thank you. Imagine me being like, Ellen, I'm 45. I think it's time. I'm going to have a child. What?
Yeah, that's such a hard pass. But you know what? Debra didn't have a child either because she just had a little doll and they weren't going to any lengths to cover that doll and that crappy ass doll hair. That doll they found in a thrift shop in the Poconos. That was not even cute.
And somebody took some moss out of a tree on their trip to Savannah, brought it up with them to Poughkeepsie, wherever they filmed this, and super glued it to that baby doll's head. It was terrifying. This looked like something out of a Ryan Murphy television show.
It was so bad. I was like, get some distance. Shoot a wide angle. I can see that baby doll's head. But anyway, I just wrote, this doll, what are we doing? That's all I wrote in my notes. Well, fast forward to Haley is 11, and the family was vacationing in Portugal. And poor Marvin suffered a brain aneurysm and passed while they were abroad. Very Jonathan Larson.
Very Jonathan Larson. And obviously, this tragedy hit their small family very hard, especially young Haley. She was really struggling. I mean, it affected her grades. School in general was hard. She was skipping school. But then Haley really started acting out, and I'm sure she was in a lot of pain, but she was shoplifting.
Yeah.
And pain or not, daughter Haley starts to become known to the cops, and you don't want to be on a first-name basis with the NYPD.
And you know that's just a kid acting out.
Yes.
Because they were really, really rich. That I mean, I'm not saying rich people don't steal, but a 13-year-old wealthy New York socialite, they're doing that for kicks. And I get it, because losing a parent that young, I could imagine that shapes you. It kind of restructures everything. It's just, it's not what's supposed to happen. You're not supposed to lose your parents that young. So it was all just really sad.
Like many young people, Haley loves social media. She built up this persona as being a pretty young woman with this wild streak. Unfortunately, her mother didn't know anything about this or about what she was doing online.
What does that have to do with this cruise? Well, I'll tell you. Debra is taking 17-year-old Haley on this very expensive cruise to really try to, you know, mend their complicated relationship. And Debra is like, you know, not to quote Jurassic Park, but she's sparing no expense.
I mean, really, not in the episode. So they flew from New York to Bali, first class. Guess how much their tickets were each?
Oh my God, I'm terrified.
Take a guess.
I mean, I would guess like $8,000?
$10,000, yeah. $10,000. Wow. And this was back in 2014, so that was over 10 years ago. $10,000,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not in the episode. You know what was in the episode? Other stuff that makes no sense. So, like I said, they flew first class. They got the best cabin. Don't worry. It's the same ugly cruise ship that we've seen before, which is really just a hallway decorated with a blue stripe. And they tell us that they're going on a 7-day cruise. You all, this show doesn't try. They're going from Australia to Hawaii to Bora Bora. There is not a cruise ship that goes enough knots to take you from Australia to Hawaii to Bora Bora. You all need some fact checking on your copy. These scripts are horrible.
Well, I would tell you, all of what you just said would mean something to me if I knew a little something about geography, but I couldn't point out Indiana on a map, okay?
Okay, Rosie. Well, I mean, think of where Australia is. I mean, going the other way, but going all the way to Hawaii. I mean, Bora Bora alone is like 3,000 miles from Australia.
Shit.
Yeah.
This is so a lot of miles.
This did not take place in 7 days. You all. Anyway, it must be a very expensive cruise if they did go on it. I don't
know. Also, can you imagine if it was going fast enough to fit it all in 7 days? Everyone's like, well, we can't play shuffleboard because we're all just in our chairs like this.
You know what's crazy? here. I'm giving you guys so much inside baseball on working on cruise ships. We would port in San Juan, and our first stop was St. Thomas, but we would leave in the afternoon and get to St. Thomas in the morning, which is spitting distance from San Juan. But the captains get a gas bonus if they save gas. So we would like float to St. Thomas every Sunday night. It was just a slow float because if they save gas, they would get a bonus.
Wow.
Yeah. So they would be like, sorry, we're pulling into port late. And that was because they didn't want to go faster because they didn't want to waste the gas.
Wow.
I know. This is my podcast where I crack open the cruise ship industry. Hey, Joey.
What?
This episode is brought to you by IQBar, our exclusive snack and hydration sponsor. IQBar is the better-for-you plant protein-based snack made with brain-boosting nutrients to refuel, nourish, and satisfy hunger without the sugar crash.
Let me tell you something. I don't need no man. I don't. All I need is the ultimate sampler pack from IQBar. I get my 9 IQ bars, I get my 8 IQ mix sticks, and 4 IQ Joe sticks. And you know what they don't do? Break my heart.
Or talk back.
No, they're delicious.
And IQBar products are entirely free from gluten, dairy, soy, GMOs, artificial sweeteners, and SAS. That's not in the copy, but I did know that.
Listen, right now I'm in rehearsal. I have to stay hydrated, and IQ Mix is a great way to do that because it's zero sugar, and it hydrates with electrolytes, which improves your mood, and it boosts clarity. Also, it tastes delicious.
Now, IQ bars are delicious, but when you read the fine print, you realize they have a lot of good stuff like magnesium, lion's mane, aptogens, and more. It is clean, and it is delicious. Honestly, it's the easiest healthy thing I do for myself.
It's true. IQ Bar has become a part of our daily routine, and right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, including the sampler pack, plus free shipping.
To get your 20% off, text THINK to 64000.
That's THINK to 64000.
Text THINK to 64000.
Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
Or just come dig around my purse for a little while. You'll find him there, too.
Yeah, you probably find Jimmy Hoffa in there as well. And bon appetit!
For the first 5 days of the cruise, Deborah and Haley keep to themselves and seem to get along.
Two women traveling together alone on the other side of the world on a luxury cruise would make very appealing targets, especially if they draw attention to themselves.
Is Deborah and Haley's wealthy lifestyle like an open invitation to someone looking to take advantage of unwary travelers?
And Haley's really keeping up with her followers, right? She's letting them know, giving them a play-by-play, lots of selfies. And Mama Deborah still doesn't know about her presence on social media. But she does notice that Haley is taking selfies constantly, right? And it's just like, babe, can you put your phone down for 2 seconds and can we just enjoy the view? You're actually really self-absorbed.
And it's interesting because, like I said, this was in 2014 and I really feel like the revolution of Snapchat and everything was way later. I will be in the car with Lola and she's like, yeah, no, I know. And I was like, did you just take a selfie in 2.1 seconds with a pose and a hand gesture? What are you doing?
That's a Snap thing. That's the thing I've realized on Snap is people just like respond with, they don't care how they look. They just do it because they want to keep up with the
streaks. I know.
Yeah.
Lola had to explain it to me. I was like, people are dying, Kim. Come on.
Straight this pussy. Anyway, so... I don't even know what that means.
Okay.
So the night before they're supposed to stop in Bora Bora, a passenger observed Deborah and daughter Haley getting into it.
It turns out that Deborah's shipboard card was frozen. So your shipboard card, it's like a folio. And this actually, again, wouldn't happen because you pay for everything at the end of the cruise. It's all linked to your credit card. And everything had frozen somehow. And that was because her credit card was maxed out. And she was like, darling, I am a millionaire. My my credit cards don't max out. So we're going to find out later what happens. So put a pin in that for now.
Is it like the magic bands at Disney World?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I got it. Yeah. All right. Also, I'm not trying to argue with anybody in public. I'm sorry. Somebody tried to pick a fight with me in public. And I'm not talking about having to defend myself. But I mean, like a loved one arguing with me. Absolutely not. Because I know I'm going to end up on TikTok.
Yeah.
As that crazy bleached haired faggot cussing out their cousin Plookie at the Senor Frogs. Okay. I'm not going to do it.
Hold on, 1 second. Two of those quesadillas, not one. You brought me a fish taco and a quesadilla. And fuck you! No.
And bring your mom around here, too. I feel like cussing her out.
Except,
what's her name?
I will tell you, if there are people within a certain proximity of me arguing, you know I'm deaf in one ear. I'm going to be like, can you? Wait, I can't hear the end. What happened? Did she lie or didn't she? God damn it. Just all I'm asking is that if you're going to have a heated conversation, I need diction. That's all I need. I need you to chomp on those consonants.
Yeah.
I need diction. What are you going to do? Leave me hanging at the Key West, Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville, all by myself, sitting there with my basket of chips and my queso? No. Speak louder and articulate.
And wrap it up before I finish my coconut shrimp.
After getting the cruise card unlocked, Deborah and Haley spend time in one of the ship's restaurants. The same evening, a strange incident takes place at a dining room on another deck.
So, a chef notices that someone has dumped the food off of a serving platter on one of the buffets and has just taken off with it. And the chef is like, who would do that? Who would get rid of a bunch of puff pastries and just steal this must be a prank. I don't know what this is. But you know, it's not like an all hands on deck situation. So they just move on. Now, put a pin in that. So many pins.
So there's a lever and grab a handful. So later that night at the front desk, they get a call from a passenger who says that they're going to be debarking early. They're going to fly out of Bora Bora. And it's Haley, and she calls. And I was like, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, her and her mom got in a fight. And her mom was like, we are turning this cruise ship around and we are going home. And she says, yeah, my suitcase is in the room. Please have someone come help me bring it down. So they send a crew member there to the presidential suite, the most expensive cabin on the ship. This man opens this door and it looks like Shady Pines in Tallulah Lake. There is a bed. It is mismatched furniture. There's a tissue. But this is not a presidential suite. This is some Mima's assisted living situation.
Babe, this is the Spring Hill Suites in Dallas, Texas, where you meet and Harris stayed.
You all, if you did not catch our swamp talk, we stayed at this place. We all were texting each other. We're like, there's a story here. What is this place? This is not a hotel.
And it's haunted. But the reenactment of this whole situation is truly wild. However, the reality of this situation, much different.
Well, the crew member goes in there to go get the suitcase, and he sees something bloody hanging out the side of it. And so naturally, that crew member walks backwards in slow motion to tell somebody. And they get security to come in and they inspect the luggage. And it's two people in collared shirts. And so, you know, they mean business. And they slow motion point to a bunch of things. And the suitcase is all bloody.
And so that crew member takes one look at this upright suitcase covered in blood with a shower curtain sticking out of it. And he's like, this is absolutely above my pay grade. I am calling the Bora Bora police and have them come and take a look. So they do. The police come on board and inspect the suitcase. Y'all, in all seriousness, this was very graphic.
Yeah.
They turn over the suitcase and there's so much blood that it's leaking out the side of this suitcase.
It's really awful.
What was discovered inside the suitcase was a blood-stained shower curtain covering the partially clothed body of a woman.
Someone has murdered Deborah Wolfowitz and crammed her body into her own suitcase.
So immediately, they need to find Haley, but they can't find Haley on the ship. So of course, their first thought was, what if something has happened to Haley too? What if she's deceased? What if she's being held? They were terrified. But Haley was definitely the one who requested that the suitcase be picked up and also said she would be debarking in Bora Bora and flying out that day. So they also are pretty confident that Haley is alive. And since she's not on the ship, most likely she's out ashore in Bora Bora. Joey, guess who's back?
Who?
Better Help. And in fact, This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Call your therapist, call him today.
Listen, we're headed into fall, and you know what comes after fall? Winter. And you know what comes at winter? Depression.
Well, we always turn to funny places for support. I think that would be us, but we're not therapists. I don't even know if we're real. But you need to find the right match in your therapist, and that's why I think BetterHelp is a great option.
Listen, as much as I love Ellen, she does not have a PhD in how to therapize a homosexual. She should, but she doesn't. And so that's why I'm so grateful for my therapist. And listen, BetterHelp has been helping people find their match for over 10 years. They have a 4.9 rating out of over a million client session reviews. So they are committed to finding a therapist that works well with you and your specific goals.
And I will say, I have done it. Joey has done it. We have been therapists for each other, with each other. Heck, sometimes I turn to my hairdresser or maybe just a random stranger who sees me crying in a bathroom. And yeah, that's fun to talk about little, you know, life things here and there. But sometimes you really need guidance from a licensed therapist who can really put stuff in perspective. So if you have been contemplating therapy, please don't be scared. It's really not scary. It's necessary.
It is. And as the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise.
Find the one with BetterHelp.
Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/I Think Not.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/I Think Not.
Call your therapist, call him today.
You have to yodel at the end.
Yeah, no, it's for sure.
So the police are like, well, okay, if she's involved or if she's being held, who knows what's happening? We need to set up some sort of trap, right? So the local police dress up as crew members and they're like, okay, meet us at the port at this time, Haley, and we'll have that suitcase. After hours of waiting, Haley doesn't come and the ship has to leave that evening.
Right. Well, of course, they go and inspect the cabin or the lovely garden and suites inn or whatever they're shooting it at. And they find this weird piece of marble with blood on it in bed, or like stone, something. And they were like, oh, yeah, I heard there was a tray stolen from the buffet, you see. Yeah, you hear about that serving dish stolen right off the Lido deck. Hubbub. Yeah, there was a tray stolen. Like, how do you all know there was a tray stolen in one of the Yeah, oh my God, everyone is talking about it. That tray could tray stolen from the snacks lounge.
Yeah, we can make fun of this because this, again, is not what happened. And also, it's such a stretch. Yeah, you're telling me a Bora Bora police officer was like, oh my God, I know what this is. I heard about this from Tammy, who's visiting from Wichita. And she went on about that serving tray. She couldn't believe those puff pastries were on the floor, just wasted. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you guys, this is, it's such a stretch. It's beyond.
As the day draws to a close, passengers return from the day trip to the island. In addition to Haley Mitchell, one other passenger fails to arrive back on time.
This is when investigators find a potential piece of evidence.
So they're looking for Haley, and they happen to look through the manifest for everyone on board, and they see a name of a man named Richard Cookie Levitt. He also flew from New York to Australia. And they're like, there's just not a lot of Americans on board. I mean, that's a really, really big flight. New York to Australia, that's a really long flight. So that's more of like a European's, you know, cruise or whatever. So that's how they said they put two and two together. So now they're looking for this guy and Haley either on the ship or somewhere ashore.
Well, when the time comes to board the ship that evening, Haley doesn't come and neither does Cookie. I can't get over the nickname Cookie. I had a girl down the street that I grew up with, and her nickname was Puddin', and I never bothered. I've known her my whole life, and I never bothered to ask her what her real name is.
Puddin'.
Puddin'.
Like Poodle. We need to invite Poodle and Maddie back on. They should cover this show because it's so ridiculous.
God bless Puddin'.
So everyone's getting back on board. You know, the guy who was the son last week and the ex-boyfriend the week before. They have a very, very small roster of actors. But there is also a sassy gay. And we know he's a sassy gay because he has a floral shirt and a baseball cap matching that same floral pattern. And so he's like, oh, yeah, no, I totally saw this mom and daughter fighting. I was like, yes, queens, throw the house boots down. You girls are fierce and ferocious. Okay, queen. You all, this is so bad. I swear to God, the budget of this show is $25 and a Chipotle gift card. It is so bad. So they're sitting there. Did you see what the sassy gay was doing while he was being interrogated?
No, I saw what he did when he observed, when we get the reenactment of the reenactment.
No,
nope,
we're gonna do that in a minute. Okay. No, he was sitting eating a lollipop. He was like, listen, I saw those queens and I was like, fair spatcha. He's eating a lollipop in his police investigation.
Mm-hmm. He was still rolling from the rave the night before over on the Lido deck.
He was like, I am gonna take this moment and I'm gonna shine bright like a goddamn diamond. So, okay, I'm so glad you want to talk about that reenactment. So he's basically saying that he passed by Haley and Deborah fighting. Now, welcome to I Think Not Mystery Theater, where we reenact the reenactments. Mm-hmm. This is more of a visual, so we'll throw this on Instagram. But Joey, go ahead and you do yours and I'll do mine and we'll let the listeners vote.
Okay. So, by the way, Deborah and Haley were doing more than just arguing. They were shoving. It got physical. And we see this, I don't know, passenger who happens to be a witness walking by wearing sunglasses. And he looks at them arguing. And we see him in the back pull his sunglasses down and just make a face like, ooh, boo.
Pull them down, like, imagine, like, on his nose.
That bitch said, give me one moment.
He was like, I'm making the most out of these zero lines.
There's evidence that not all was rosy between Haley and Deborah. This tourist leads the police to the concierge who broke up the fight between them.
Investigators discover the argument between Deborah and Haley was not just about Deborah's credit card. The charges on the card show what Haley had done with it.
And when they talk to the concierge, she's like, oh, bitches, I got all the tea because I heard all of it. This was more than you thought, because it turns out Haley had been maxing out her mother's credit card to not buy clothes, mm-hmm. to not go, you know, do stupid teenager shit. She bought a whole ass first class plane ticket and got a whole other cabin on this boat for this man, Cookie.
We're talking tens of thousands of dollars. Now, his flight, maybe because it was booked later, his flight was $12,000.
Holy Lord.
She flew that bitch first class and to get, like, this expensive cabin. So she was like, no wonder my credit cards were maxed out. We're talking, like, $30,000, $35,000 worth of charges. So once they find this out, they realize this is all a little more nefarious than they had originally thought, and they locked down all of Deborah's credit cards. So if they do something really stupid, like go to the island and use Deborah's credit card or something, they'll be able to track them down. And they do, because they're kids and they're stupid. They're like, oh, you're at Bora Bora Island Barbecue? Great, we'll be there in 5.
Now listen, we haven't mentioned how stupid some of the talking heads on this show are, but you know what? There's one woman here, she's a crime writer, and she says something. It's just very good advice that I don't think any of us have ever heard or would have thought of.
It's always a bad move to use stolen credit cards. This was easily traced by the police.
Ladies and gentlemen, theys and thems, Agatha Christie, thank you so much.
I had an inkling that I didn't know, like, solid. So I appreciate her really laying the foundation. I'm just, you know, done. It is a bad idea. Thank you, crime writer.
Yeah. I mean, listen, going back a little bit, Cookie and Haley are real fucking stupid because Haley has documented her entire life on social media and the investigators are like, oh no, Cookie is her boyfriend. It's all over her Instagram.
Yeah. So the minute they use that credit card, they go and they find him and both of them are arrested for the murder of Deborah. And so upon further investigation of Deborah, obviously they found massive head trauma, but they also found signs of asphyxiation as well as little bruises around her neck, which would be consistent with finger markings. Also, they're not very good at crime. The shower curtain that they wrapped poor Deborah's body in, it had Haley's fingerprints all over it.
So now they know for sure that these two work together to murder Deborah. But why? Why, right? So they pull phone records And they look at the text exchanges between Cookie and Haley. They are utterly disgusting.
Yeah.
They talk about Deborah like she's not even a human being. She's just this thing to get rid of.
Yeah. And so not only are they gross, obviously this shows major planning, major premeditation, and it shows they're both involved.
Yeah.
And upon further investigation, they also find out that this little argument they had over at the front desk, this was totally the norm. These two fought all the time. They said that back in New York, they had about a dozen domestic disturbance calls. Not only that, we find out young Haley is pregnant.
And Deborah was livid that Haley was pregnant by Cookie. And she had never met Cookie. She couldn't point him out on the street, right? So all of this information emerges. Both Cookie and Haley are charged with first-degree murder and conspiracy. But of course, they turn on each other very quickly, each blaming the other.
And both of them were saying, it was his idea. No, it was her idea. No, it was her idea, but I went along with it. Actually, it doesn't matter whose idea it was. You both fucking did it. You both fucking did it, and there's a ton of evidence. You both are dead to rights. Now, because they're in Bora Bora, this case is taken in front of French Polynesian court.
Yeah. And basically, the phone records, they're the star of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is very clear that Cookie stole that serving platter from the buffet and used that to attempt to murder Deborah. Right. And then when he couldn't finish the job, he had Haley come in, and Haley was the one who strangled her own mother.
Oh, God. And also, when you think about it logically, there is no way that either one of them would be able to dispose of a body in that manner alone. They both had to be involved, and the phone records corroborated that.
Text messages provided to the jury prove that Haley wanted her mother murdered. She was the one who dangled the idea of the millions of dollars of inheritance in front of Cookie and bought him the trip around the world using her mother's credit card.
So when they did go through all of their text messages, past text messages, again, it doesn't really matter, but it is clear that Haley was the one driving the ship and that Cookie was going along with it. I mean, he totally went along with it, but it does appear that she was a little bit more manipulative and kind of manipulated him into this awful, heinous crime.
Yeah. I mean, Haley took the stand, which, why would you do that?
Yeah.
But she tried to depict her mother as a drug addict, as an alcoholic, as a schizophrenic, like just trying to really paint her as unhinged. When the truth is it's all in the text.
Yeah.
Haley wanted that money. That's what she wanted.
Yeah.
She was after her inheritance.
You know, I hate to say this, but I know this because I researched it, but also they make it seem like she was just a rotten, spoiled little brat. And I get it. You sort of put that together with a whole lot of trauma from losing her dad, and you're going to have a recipe for disaster.
You're absolutely right. And whatever the reasons are, both Haley and Cookie are sentenced to life in prison in French Polynesia. Now, remember, Haley is pregnant, so this story does not end for her.
Mm-hmm. And so then we get on-screen text that tells us that the baby lived with Haley in prison for the first year of its life and then went to a foster family. Now, let me break down what really happened. First of all, the victim here, who we know as Deborah, is named Sheila Von Weiss Mack, and she was married to a man named James Mack. And this actually all took place in Chicago. They were from Chicago and they had Haley, but James also had five other children. And he was actually a composer. And so when they went on that vacation, Papa Mack actually had cancer. And he was like, you know what? I have maybe a year left. I want to spend the rest of my life living out my days traveling. And he passed away in Athens, Greece. Now, the whole crux of this is because Heather Mack, that is her real name, Heather Mack actually thought that her mom killed her father. Now, some other interesting things to know is that when James Mack died, even though he had five other children with other women, I think it was two other wives, Heather was left his fortune. And Cookie, I do not know where they got that name from. This man's name was Tommy Schaefer. Why were they like, oh, let's give him the name Cookie?
Weird.
I have no idea. He was sort of a local in the party scene, and his girlfriend had actually passed away. And so Heather Mack was like, oh my God, your girlfriend passed away, my dad passed away. Let's trauma bond a little bit. And so the fights that Heather and Sheila had, I mean, they were awful. You know how in the episode they said that the authorities came to their home about 12 times? No, it was 86.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So much so that Heather once pushed Sheila so hard that she fell down and broke her arm. So they really played down the contentiousness. They made it seem it was like just me and Lola like arguing and bickering. No, no, no. This was intense. Actually, Heather was convicted of battery against her mother and had a court order to go seek counseling and anger management when she was 16 years old. So This was a very troubled little girl. Now here's the kicker, y'all. None of this took place on a cruise ship. Nope.
Nope.
This took place at a resort in Bali. I'm sure they're like, we're running out of options. Let's just take this story. So all of that is true. She flew Tommy Schaefer out to Bali. Sheila saw him and was like, what the fuck is he doing in here? And that's why they got in this big fight. Tommy Schaefer showed up at Sheila's suite with a glass fruit bowl. And the whole thing about the suitcase was true. But what they did was, this is so morbid, you all, they put poor Sheila's body in that suitcase and they even went down to the front desk and they're like, hey, sorry to bother you. Do you have any duct tape? They duct taped the suitcase, called a taxi, put it in the back of a taxi. And they're like, oh, hold on, we forgot something inside. And they just ghosted the taxi driver. So the taxi driver's like, wait, they're not coming back? What the heck is going on? So he pulls the suitcase out and they see blood on the outside of the suitcase and they call the authorities immediately. So they have a trial. All that is true. Heather Mack was sentenced to 10 years. And then after 7, she was released. Sent back, they cornered her at Chicago O'Hare Airport and arrested her right there. And she was charged federally over here in the state. And she received another 26 years. Tommy Schaefer is still in Bali. And I was really kind of trying to sort of wonder what this girl is like, what's in her head. Well, I found this video online. Just wait a second.
I'm Heather Mack. When I was 10, my mother killed my father in a hotel in Athens, Greece. 2 weeks before I came to Bali, I found out that she killed my father. I got this whole new savage idea in my head that I wanted to kill her in a hotel room because she had killed my father in a hotel room. I don't regret killing my mother. And as evil as that may sound, that's my reality. I killed her myself. And then I told Tommy that if he did not help me clean the room and get rid of the body, that I would tell the police that he did it. And I'm sorry, Tommy Schaefer. I'm sorry. I love you. I really love you. And if I could go back, I would do it myself.
That video was taken on a contraband cell phone in Indonesia and posted to the internet. And that really hit me when she said, and I would do it again, because she threw herself on the mercy of the court when she was brought back to the States. Well, she is currently serving out her time at a federal correctional institute in Hazleton, West Virginia. I don't know. I mean, this thing goes really, really deep. It is wild. It is tragic. And that girl's not okay. She didn't have a trial. She pled guilty and she got the 26 years rather than probably the life that she was looking at.
So what, do we know anything more about Tommy?
Nope. He's still in Indonesia and the little girl lives with a cousin and Tommy Schaefer's mother, her name is Kia. She has been fighting for this baby girl for a really long time. She was also really active on social media from about 2022 to 2024. But she has since like kind of gone radio silent.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a really dark story. And I was like, and none of it took place on a cruise ship.
It's terrible.
Say something funny.
Well, listen, I told y'all I don't like to argue in public, but my sister and I here, sometimes when we're at Disneyland, we have been known to spat over which ride we want to go. If you see us arguing because she wants to go over on the teacups and I want to go over on the Space Mountain, don't you film us and post it on the internet, because we will find you. We will find you. We will find... Harris will find you. We're going to... Harris! Harris!
Harris is already in line for Tron. It's fine.
What a wild episode.
I know. It's crazy. Oh, you all, we're recording this on a Sunday. I don't even know when this comes out, but my entire personality for the past about 18 hours has been watching Brandi Carlile sing Uninvited at Red Rocks.
Oh, yeah.
I can't get it out of my head. I should have said that at the top of the episode. But also, hey, join the Patreon. It's not as exciting as Brandi Carlile at the Red Rocks, but I'll tell you, you get a lot more content, a lot more bang for your buck. You get 4 bonus episodes a month for only $5. Patreon.com/I think not.
We're coming close to the time for our quarterly paint party. There's still time to join that. All you have to do is head on over to patreon.com/I think not and let us squawk a little bit in your ears. But either way, we're just glad you're here.
We sure are. Until next time, I love you, Joey.
I'm a 18-year-old Marie Martin. I love you, baby.
That was an angry one. I love you, dumb bitches. Bye.
Bye. I'm not going on the jungle cruise.
What do I say? He's got to get a prop. We're podcasters. Sometimes we forget that this is not a visual medium.
Wait, do you think that's disrespectful? Should I probably shouldn't say that, right? So Deborah and Haley go to dinner.
Who?
Now, Deborah and Haley.
Did you say Deborah?
I did say Deborah. What do you think I said?
I thought you
said... Remember when you said you were deaf? So maybe trust that I said Deborah.
I think you said Dembra. That's what I think you said. Okay.
I'm going to throw you in a den, bruh, if you don't leave me the fuck alone and let me tell this story. Okay.
I mean, look, I don't know what to say, but I do have a confession.
Okay.
Ever since I brought up coconut shrimp, that's all I've been thinking about the rest of the episode.
Yeah, okay.
I want coconut shrimp now.
Okay, is that it?
And I love you.